Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. We're down at the Boulevard Bar and Grill, just next to the campus of MTSU, Middle Tennessee State University. And we just talked to Rick Ensel, going for win number 500 tomorrow against Delaware. $5 tickets, just go to GoBlueRaiders.com, and you can get those. The men will be in action this weekend as well at Jacksonville State. They have moved that game to Friday night with a 6:30 tip-off because of the impending weather in the South. Snowmageddon 2026 is what we were calling it. Or Snowpocalypse.
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 Right.
We'll go with that. And so that game has moved. But the women's game tomorrow night and the actually another women's game has moved to Friday as well.
Correct. So. Thank you, 0264 says, great interview with the coach. I went to Delaware, played men's basketball for him, but I'm rooting for MTSU tomorrow night. Because of your interview, I'm going to go see the game and see it in history. Inspiring. Thank you, 0264. Yeah, we love the coach, mainly because he doesn't care what you think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he does.
He likes us.
But he loves his team. He loves everybody around him, and he coaches how he feels. He hasn't changed, and so I think it's great.
Alan from Nashville, or Alan from Little Rock, says, Chase and Joe, here's all you need to call. With the impending snow, call Mr. Plow. That's my name.
Yeah.
That name again is Mr. Plow.
What about Linda Ronstadt? Is she going to get with Barney again?
The Plow King.
Mr. Plow is a loser, and I hear
he's a boozer.
Such a great episode.
I love the. I love when they're doing the commercial for that, and Bart's like, "Are you insured or something?" And he's like, "Shut up, boy."
Oh, yeah, it's such a great Simpsons episode. Such a good – isn't Barney in the hot tub with Linda Ronstadt?
Yes.
Watching Homer's business go down the tubes.
And then Homer goes and saves him.
Homer goes and saves him.
Yeah.
Like a good friend.
There's another underrated line because, remember, he wrecks his car.
Barney?
Homer. That's how he gets the plow. And he's like, don't tell him you were at a bar. Don't tell him you were at a bar. And he goes, I was at a pornography store. I was buying pornography.
Oh, it's so that episode's like 33 years old.
Oh, I know. I mean, they're all like all the iconic episodes are now 30 or more years old.
Oh, it's
crazy.
By the way, the Buffalo Bills owner met the media today and discussed the firing of Sean McDermott. That'd be nice for once to hear from the owner, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Just one time.
Just once.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if she did a press conference like Bisciotti or Dan Rooney or Art Rooney, I guess it is now, Art Rooney the second, like once a year,
yeah,
be fine.
Ask me whatever you want.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Just get up there and just talk.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be fine.
Why'd you fire Vrabel? I wanted to. Next. Like John Robinson. Same thing. Wanted to fire him. All right, next.
They finally do it and becomes like, do you remember that Simpsons – again, another Simpsons reference, where they're coming to inspect the plant, and Smithers tells Homer and like two other guys they have free motorboats, and they lock them in this room downstairs, or something like that, to keep them away from the inspectors. That's what they do to Kaharsky.
Keep them away from everybody. Oh, no, I'd have them there. Keep asking.
Yeah,
ask the same question 13 times. You get the same answer 13 times.
But I am wondering, like, when are we going to – when are they going to announce this? Because now I'm getting a little concerned that it's been almost 2 days since the news got out that Robert Saleh is the coach and they have not made it official.
I didn't see a Stefanski presser, did I?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Right?
Yeah.
So on their times, they'll do it their way. But I think they try to get it done tomorrow so everybody can get out of town for the Senior Bowl. Is it next week or the week after? Senior Bowl.
I believe it's the week of the Pro Bowl.
So next week.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Which the Pro Bowl's moved, but the old off week in between the championship games and the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So it's next week, and then the team arrives in California the week after that. Okay, I get all that. Yeah, whatever. Just do it, and it's done, and be over that. Now you wait for the dominoes to fall. And again, we talk about it. We were laughing. Every other team has something out there but the Cardinals. Does nobody want the Arizona Cardinals job? I'm sure somebody does, but
the answer is no.
I mean, give it to Kevin Creasy at Oakland High School. At least he wins games. Have him go out there and do it. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with all this because all the good coaches are pretty much gone by now.
Uh, 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What you got there, Dr. Crane?
Just saying Robert Saleh, I think they'll hire an OC along with him, and then they'll announce it all at the same time so the Titans don't catch as much heat.
Oh. I don't know. I mean, who knows what they're going to
– Because if they just hire Saleh and they announce it and then they do a press conference, we all know the number one question is going to be, well, who's your offensive coordinator?
I wouldn't do it. I would not put the offensive coordinator up there for a while.
Make it about the head coach.
Yep.
And then have the head – and then I see what you're saying, and you may be right, but I would make it about the head coach and then let him be the one to announce the OC.
Hey, what about your staff? You'll know who they are in a few weeks.
What about your DC?
You'll know who they are in a few weeks.
I would love if he just answered that. That's a personal question. I saw this post. Does he have like 9 kids?
Does he? I don't know.
I guess. Like,
I have no idea.
If that's true, that might be why it's taking.
I know he wants to fight Liam Cohen, and that right there, I've signed up for that.
I can't wait for that.
I have signed
twice
up for
a
that.
Year.
They say I'm going to rip you in half or something like that.
Yeah. And he looks like he could.
That's just – he looks like somebody. Punch you in the face. I'm going to rip you in half.
He looks like somebody you would not want to mess with.
Right.
Like you would definitely not want to mess with.
No, not at all. It's so good, though. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. Just maybe the whole snow thing's playing into this, but I don't think they'd wait a week, would they?
No. No. I mean, I kind of feel like – it will happen today. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll continue taking your whiny Wednesday calls. Who needs to just shush it?
I don't have a good one.
You got one. Somebody making you mad? Not going to take it anymore?
I mean, there's one, but I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
You know who it is.
All right. Ricky, sorry, buddy.
It's not Ricky.
Sorry about that, pal.
It's
got to be one. We're not going to whiny. Somebody that's out there is complaining nonstop. I don't know. Maybe we're so worried about the snow we're not even figuring it out.
I think mine for me is kind of it's a blanket one. Anyone that blames a loss on the refs. Because, yes, bad calls, you know, sometimes will affect a game. But
example.
You also should have played better.
Example.
Like Bills fans are still mad about that. Was it a pick? Was it not? You turn the ball over 5 times.
Right.
Like, that's kind of on you.
Then you overthrew Dawson Knox wide open going to the end zone.
Right.
Then you fumble before the half.
Correct.
I mean, there are things like, oh, the refs ruined it for him. Nah, he shouldn't have gotten that position. I agree with that. That's a good one. You got to have to play better and win games and not leave it in their hands. We always talk about that all the time. Don't leave games in the hands of officials.
Yep.
It was like Joe Pesci in Lethal Weapon 2 about the drive-thru. They'll blank you in the drive-thru.
Yep.
You do not go through the drive-thru.
Yep.
Every time. So don't leave in the ref's hands.
No. I mean, play better. Play well enough to win the game.
Yep.
It's pretty much as simple as that. But, you know, I think sometimes people look for an excuse.
Robert's got to go. One of these days, we're going to see a video online of Robert Saleh punching Jags head coach, and everybody's going to think it's AI, but it's going to be real. That AI from Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur after the Packers. Because I'm like, oh, because
he like gives him a roundhouse kick.
Yeah, shakes, pulls him in, roundhouse him, kicks him in the head. He falls down. I mean, it was something to see, but it's like, oh, that's all AI.
Oh, by the way, the best meme now is that video of Kirk Cignetti where he's like doing this, like looking around. That one is blowing up on the internet.
Is that an AI?
No, it's from the game the other night.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he's on the sideline. He's like kind of looking this way and like he's down looking this way. And like so making sure the DoorDash driver is gone before I open my front door to grab the food.
Why is that?
I've seen – oh, that's – I always do
awkward
that.
Awkward conversations?
Because I don't want to talk to him. No offense, but
has your food ever been eaten?
No, I've gotten the wrong order a few times.
But your food,
no. There's a few times I haven't gotten a drink, and I think it's because they take the drink.
I couldn't do this job.
Oh yeah, you'd eat the food. I could totally see you, like, if somebody was like ordered like McDonald's or something, that you'd leave the fries would be all gone.
I'd have to. If I'm door dashing and you order curly fries from Arby's,
they're
gone. I mean they're absolutely gone. I could not do it. God bless those who do that job, who work hard to earn extra money. God bless you. I can't do that job.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Nick McDevitt. He is the men's basketball coach at Middle Tennessee State. He'll join us live here from the Boulevard. And, again, want to say thanks to Jones Glass Company, a commercial construction glazing company and family-owned and operated local small business for over 50 years. They've announced their new residential and service company called JGC Maintenance Division, serving Rutherford and surrounding counties. JGC Maintenance offers mirrors, tabletops, storm window repair, shower enclosures, commercial maintenance, and service work, and so much more. Just give them a call at 615-624-0377, 615-624-0377. Nick McDevitt joins us next here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. We're at the Boulevard Bar and Grill in Murfreesboro. And Nick McDevitt has joined us now, the head coach of the Blue Raiders. And you play this weekend. We'll put it that way.
We play soon down in Jacksonville, Alabama. Right now it's scheduled for Saturday at 4:00. The weather may throw a little wrinkle into that, but
it might be Friday.
It might be Friday. It might be Saturday morning. It might be Saturday afternoon, but we'll play them nonetheless here pretty soon.
So how do you feel about your squad to this point?
Yeah,
11-7 on the season, 5-2 in the conference.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well. You know, obviously we're in sole possession of second place right now, 5-2, and as you just mentioned, we're 11-7 overall. And our non-conference schedule was a bear. You know, right now, KenPom still has it ranked as the 8th most difficult strength of schedule in the country, and so to kind of survive it and play the likes of Houston and Michigan and Murray State and Belmont, two teams that are having a great years right down the road from us. UAB, we're able to get some good wins against some of those guys. And right now we're fairly healthy and, a third of the way through league play and got some tough ones ahead, some exciting league home games with Liberty and Western Kentucky next week. So kind of like where we are right now.
Does that out-of-conference schedule, you think, help you with how things may go down the line?
It does. You know, it's obviously it's difficult. Yeah. You hope that as long as it doesn't beat you up either physically or mentally, it should help prepare you for what's ahead in league play. Obviously, when you play teams like Houston and Michigan, you're talking about top 10 teams in the country. You know what that task is going to kind of look like. But as we told our team, there's several reasons we're doing that. One of those is obviously we needed the money. You know, Chris Massaro asked, can we play two of them? And so to help generate money, and it brought in close to $200,000 playing those games. But at the same time, those are the caliber teams you'll play when you play in the NCAA tournament. And you don't want to get there, and your guys are kind of in shock by, you know, in the first half of what that is. You know, now because you've played the likes of Michigan and Houston, you would hope that, you know, you win your conference tournament, you get an NCAA tournament, and you understand what you're up against. And in those scenarios, you're on a neutral floor instead of on somebody else's home court.
Do you call – how's this work? You call Michigan and say, hey, it's Coach McDevitt down here. Where do you got? You guys got any plans for November 8th? How's that work?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that goes on. You know, you're out over the summer and you're recruiting and seeing each other in the late spring, early summer. You hear of somebody that's needing games.
Right.
And if it matches up with what you're looking for, you may call them. But there's also – there's just websites out there, too, where you may post, hey, we're, you know, Michigan, and we're looking to buy somebody on these 6 or 7 dates, and then you see it like, shoot, that fits into our schedule pretty nice right there. So you give them a call, and sometimes they're like, yeah, your metrics aren't what we're looking for. We're looking for a lesser opponent. Or it may be the opposite. Yeah, we're looking for a game that day, but we're looking for a P5 school. And so, you know, all right, on to the next phone call.
I think that's how the Smyrna Rec League books their name, too, right? Nobody's over on Thursday. So you had Michigan and Houston. What did you learn about your team in those two? Those are two good programs.
Yeah, you know, down 6 at halftime to Michigan, down 5 at halftime to Houston. So I thought our guys were ready to play both. Obviously, we were in there for a long time with Houston. I thought just the physicality that we were willing to play with was important. I didn't think that our guys were scared. You know, sometimes you get in those and you feel like you're down 10 or 15 points before the ball goes up in the air, because you watch your team come in to practice the night before, shoot around, and they're taking pictures of the banners up in the rafters. Yeah. You're like, oh man, these guys are in such awe of where we are and who we're about to play. Obviously, there's a high level of respect there that goes on with that, because Kelvin Sampson's one of the best that's ever done it.
Yeah.
And then Dusty May coached against him up close and personal when he was at FAU. And so a ton of respect for what he did, not only at FAU, but what he's doing now at Michigan. And so you want your guys to enjoy those experiences, but also at the same time understand, like, man, when a ball goes in the air, this is a ball game.
Yeah, didn't you beat FAU that year they went to the Final Four?
That's right. We were actually the last team that beat them. We beat them here in the Murphy Center 74-70, and their next loss was when they lost in the national semifinal game to San Diego State.
You got them again in the Conference USA tournament, right?
We did.
Was that that triple overtime game?
That was the UAB game. Year before, the FAU game, we had kind of a chip shot near the bucket towards the end of the game, and then we missed a three at the buzzer that would have sent it in overtime. You know, after that game, it's funny you bring that up. After that game, it may have been difficult the next night, because that was a night that Eli Lawrence played through an ankle injury. DeAndre Dishman's knee started blowing up a little bit. So that would have been a great one to win, but the next night would have been a little difficult.
Yeah.
It's just so tough. I mean, it's every game's a battle. I mean, every night.
It really is, Joe. You know, you look at league play and most of the games, they're just close. You know, we're telling our guys, last year we played 16 games decided by 2 possessions or less. Ooh. We went 11-5 in those games. This year we've already had 8. We're 6-2 in those games.
And there you go.
You know, that's just where you've got to make sure you're really locked into to the importance of every possession, man. Like, it's going to – the numbers say they're going to be close. You look at KenPom right now, and it you know, tries to project your future games based on what you're doing and what they're doing, and all of them are 1-3 point games. Yeah, you're going to win, and then you look, oh, it's projecting us to win that game 77-76. You know, who knows it? So they're all going to be close, and so to me, it's about, as you go forward, are you happy and are you healthy? You know, are your guys happy about still playing, where they are, what's going on? Because you start this journey in June. Yeah. You know, now the NCAA rules allow you to start working out with your team in June. And so we've been at this thing a long time. So the teams that just they're tired of hearing the coaches and tired of being around their teammates, man, you got trouble over these last 6 weeks. You know, the teams that are still happy about just being around each other, about what they're doing, and your team's healthy. If you're beat up at this point in the season, particularly with your better players, it's going to be hard for you.
Nick McDevitt is with us, head coach at MTSU. You're 8-1 at home.
Mm-hmm.
That one loss is to Belmont, which was non-conference. So how much of an emphasis did you put on of, we got to protect our house and make Murphy Center a tough place to play?
All the time. All the time. We tell it, we're pretty straightforward with it with our guys. If you want to win your league, you have to win your home games, and you got to go steal some on the road. And when you're in good leagues, man, winning on the road is hard. So it's really important that you protect home court. The good teams win at home. The great teams can win at home and on the road. And, you know, we've been able to win out to New Mexico State and got one. You know, we've got another one coming up here with Jack State. And then next week, you got two teams that are really tough. You know, Liberty obviously they've won like 9 in a row, and you know they haven't lost in league play. And then you come up right behind that, at, you know, 36 hours later, and we play our rivals from right up the road. So the next 10 days is a tough stretch.
And I tell you what, it's a fun league. It may not be from your seat sometimes, but like to watch it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's a fun league.
Yes, yeah, somebody told me the other night, it's like, man, you must have some kind of deal going with Vanderbilt Heart Health Center or something. Because, man, you are putting a lot of stress on my ticker. And I was like, man, it's fun. You know, obviously when you come out on the right side of it, but had a couple overtime games here recently in the double OT game against Missouri State the other night. So to your point, Chase, they are fun. You know, they're fun to be a part of, but they're not easy either. They're not easy.
Question about basketball, because I know very little about basketball. You know a lot more than me. 12 seconds to go in a game, you're down one, you get the rebound, and you're going down the court. Timeout or go for it?
I think if you're more organized offensively than the defense looks, I say play it out. But that's something you've got to have practiced. Here's what we're trying to do in a one-point game and a two-point game. This is the kind of bucket we want. If we're down three, here's what we're going to. Sometimes you get teams that they're rattled in those moments defensively. But if when you look out there and you see, like, we got a couple guys that offensively we're not in the spots we're supposed to be in, the other team looks like they're organized and they're matched up and look pretty calm, then I think that's a time to burn it. So I don't think it's a, you know, one size fits all. We're going to call it every time, or we're going to let it play out every time. But I do think you've got to make sure that your guys know what you want in case you don't call it.
Are you 15 seconds ahead in that moment, not clock time, but in your mind time?
For sure. You know, we're usually, you know, myself and our offensive coordinator kind of going over that, like, hey, if we get a stop here, what do you want? You know, and because it's usually kind of a package. You know, we like this based on tonight's matchup. Let's go to Torrey Austin, you know, or this guy on the other team's struggling to guard our point guard. So let's get Javon Carter involved in something. So it's kind of dependent game to game. But I think the biggest overarching thought should be, are you more organized than the defense? Because sometimes there's a missed free throw by the other team. There's a long rebound. You scoop it up. Well, there's a 3-on-2 break. You're not going to get anything better than that. I'd rather play 3-on-3, 3-on-2 than 5-on-5.
Yeah.
And so if you look like, man, don't burn that thing. If you look like you got a good shot opportunity, a good scoring chance ahead of you.
So if you're down one, drive to the hole.
Yes. Just put pressure on the rim.
Okay.
Put pressure on the rim, man.
Right.
You know, put some pressure on. Try to get a two. Try to get to the free throw line. Obviously, if it's your best three-point shooter and he's got somebody's driving to the paint and they get a paint touch and it's a kick-out three, well, man, that guy shoots 45% from three. This game may be over right here. And it's funny you say that. We're out at UTEP, down two, and went for three. We went for the win out at UTEP. A young man missed it, but and we intentionally did it. But the reason was Torrey Austin, our starting four, and Chris Loof, our starting five, had both already fouled out.
Ooh.
And our backup five man also had four fouls. Our point guard had four fouls. So we were saying,
what the hell are we doing out there?
We got to win and get out of here, because if this thing keeps going, we're going to run out of players. And so let's bang this thing in and see if we can still want to get out of here. Unfortunately, missed the shot. But in that moment, it was more like we're in some severe foul trouble, and we got a couple guys that have essentially played the whole game. They're gassed. So let's win this thing and go home.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought up the three-point thing, because I have a beef with college basketball right now. Now, you guys are good. You're averaging about 10 threes. Yeah, you're averaging about 10 threes a game.
Yep.
So you guys are pretty good from three-point range. I feel like every game I'm watching, these kids are just jacking them up from all over the court, and you're not seeing as much driving into the basket. Is it because not as many big guys are playing, or is it just that's how the game has changed?
I do think the game has changed. The analytics have obviously kind of forced some of that change.
Yeah.
But now there's so many young men, they grow up practicing their skills. Like, the post players don't just go to the gym and work on post moves and play with their back to the basket. I mean, you watch the NBA, and Joel Embiid is – the biggest dude out there, and he's on the perimeter. You know, Nikola Jokic is the most, probably one of the most skilled guys on the planet. He's huge. He's
7'285". But you don't have those guys.
No, no. But what happens is, that's right, it's a great point. But when a kid's, you know, he's 6'7", when he's 12 years old, that's what he thinks he's going to be. And so all of a sudden, he practices shooting threes and his ball handling. And then there's a day he's 6'11", 7 feet tall, and he's never worked on post moves. He's worked on shooting threes.
Yeah.
And so now, because offenses are so much five out, to that point, Chase, I think it's the other reason why comebacks and big leads aren't like what they once were.
Yeah.
Once there were used to, there's no shot clock, you know, and then in the 80s, the shot clock's 45 seconds. If you get an offensive rebound, it went back to 45 seconds. And so you could hold the ball for a minute and a half, and there's probably only one or two guys out there that shoot threes, because the four-man doesn't, the five-man doesn't.
Right.
The point guard is probably a pass-first point guard, and he's not a great shooter. Well, now, man, the pace of play is so fast. There's usually four, if not five, guys on the floor that shoot the three. There's a 30-second shot clock. You get an offensive rebound, it only goes back to 20. So there's just more possession. So sometimes you're watching these games like, man, they've got a 12 or 15 or 18-point lead. Yeah, in the early 90s or the late 80s, that game's over. And now it's like, man, they may be right back in the next four or 5 minutes.
Right. All right, you started in 1997-98 at UNC Asheville. Who's the greatest big man you've ever played against or coached against?
Oof, played against, coached against. Ooh, golly, there's been some great ones, because I'll tell you this, my first ever game, college game as a head coach was against Kentucky. And they had Willie Cauley-Stein, Julius Randle, the Harrison twins. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is going to be easy. And about three games later, we played Duke at Cameron. They had Jabari Parker, Rodney Hood. And
loaded.
Loaded. Lord. So there have been some great ones. There have been some great ones. And when I was a player at UNC Asheville, we tried to play the defending national champion every year. So my freshman year, to your question, was 97-98. And we went out and played Arizona, coming off the national championship from the year before when they had Miles Simon, Mike Bibby Michael Dickerson.
Yeah.
And had a guard named Jason Terry, played a long time in the NBA.
He
came off the bench for that team. And so that was a terrific team. Really was fortunate enough both as a player and as a coach to play against some great teams, great coaches, and really some of the all-time places to play. We played against Tyler Hansborough and his North Carolina teams in the Smith Center, you know, at Cameron Indoor Stadium at Duke, at Fog Allen, at Rupp Arena. So, you know, basketball's brought a lot of joy to me and my family because, honestly, been lucky in a lot of cool games and great moments.
Yeah, I get why Jim Boeheim's bald. Why aren't you bald? Right? I mean, you have the perfect kind of hair.
Hey, you ask my daughter, she tells me all the time, like, Dad, you're old and your hair is gray.
Yeah, but
she got it.
And it's nice.
Hey, it's still there. Chip Walters said to me a couple weeks ago, hey, it getting gray is fine. It just can't get loose.
Real quick, Rick Ensel going for win number 500.
That's unbelievable. 500. I mean, really, you think about how long of a stretch you have to be really good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're winning 25 a year, it's going to take you 20 years to get to 500. I mean, that is incredible. You know, college basketball is it's so competitive, it's so hard, and to be that good at it that long is. And it's not really a surprise, you know.
Yeah.
He's been terrific at middle, but obviously right down the road at Shelbyville High School, he's winning national championships, state championships. He does it his own way. You watch his practices, and it's unlike most practices you'll go watch.
Right.
But it works for him, you know. And they've had some great players, and it's fun. Some things you can go watch practice and pick up on that is something that you may not see somewhere else. But I know he means a lot to the people on campus and in this community, and has done a lot for girls and women's basketball in Middle Tennessee for a long time. I mean, he had great players being recruited by Pat Summitt, Gino Auriemma, and, you know, they've played all over the country. And, you know, there was a time where Nike sponsored two high school programs in the country, Oak Hill Academy boys basketball, where all the great players played in the '90s and 2000s, and Shelbyville Central girls basketball. And you know, you go in Coach's office, and back when he was a high school coach, you see pictures with him and Phil Knight.
That's pretty
and
awesome.
You know, he's just he's a women's basketball legend, and you know, hopefully he gets that 500 tomorrow night.
It's a requirement whenever you come on. I got to ask you a NASCAR question.
Oh, man.
There we go.
The new chase
format.
Is bat.
The new format. Or Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Know? I like it. You know,
yeah, I'm here for it.
I'm a fan of it. I do like the extra points for the win,
yep.
but not guarantee you a spot in the chase.
Yep.
I do like the extra points to get to 55. It kind of keeps the ringers of the old days. You know, I'm this is a knock on SVG, but you know, it kind of keeps that that you gotta be good week in and week out. But also that there's not that elimination. Like over the course of 10 races, you could have in the chase. That is, you could have had one bad race, but if it's on that third race of a knockout stage,
you're out. Yeah,
and you know, to me, that was it's like, man, that's pretty tough to have a guy that clearly should have won it and not. So, you know, you wonder if did it go to that format so that they could break up what Jimmy Johnson was doing year after year after year.
Well, that's exactly why they changed it.
Exactly. To break up it being boring and the monotony of it. But, shoot, he was winning them. You know, he was winning all of them. So I do like the new going back to the way it was.
Yeah. So Chase is going to reboot his Chase and Checkers NASCAR, Nashville's only NASCAR big-time show. He needs a co-host.
Oh, yeah.
I just found your co-host.
Hey. He's a little busy right now, but when he gets
come
done.
April.
I'll be guest host, baby. I would love it.
I'd love that, too. That'd
Let's
be fun.
Do it.
We could have some. Because I run into him
at all the races
at Super Speedway, and the Cars Tour is coming to the fairgrounds this year, which would be cool. So
I took my son Cooper a couple years ago. We went down to Talladega for his first race outside of Nashville. And last year, took him over to Bristol, and we're going to try to get over to North Wilkesboro.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They're back on the schedule this year. It's not just the All-Star race.
Oh,
but,
yeah. I want to try and go to that one too.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
I remember running into you at Nashville, and your son was all excited about meeting who was it they got to meet. Crap, I can't remember. It wasn't Chase Elliott, but it was Drives for Spire, and I'm blanking on his name right now, but it'll come to me in a second.
Yeah,
Carson Hosevar.
Oh, he did meet Carson. Yeah, that's right. Meet Carson. We were up there for the truck race.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, we were up there for the truck race, and we come around the corner, and there's Carson Hosevar, and he just sat there and talked to him for a little bit. And, he started pulling for that 77 car bit. And, because of that, I mean, you know, he's got to meet Alex Bowman and Chase Elliott and those guys, and it's so different. You know this. Like NASCAR, it's like that would be the equivalent of talking to LeBron James 45 minutes before the Lakers play.
Yeah.
You just don't get that access in other sports outside of NASCAR. But you can be down there in the pits, and you're talking to a guy that's trying to go win the Daytona 500 in a few minutes, and he's willing to sit there and spend some time with you.
Appreciate the time, Coach.
Absolutely.
Good luck this weekend, whenever that game is.
Yeah, whenever it is.
we'll let everybody know.
We'll try to win it whenever we play it.
Yeah, for sure. Nick McDevitt joining us, MTSU men's coach. We'll have more coming from the Boulevard here in Murfreesboro next, 102.5 The Game.
It may be on a lousy channel, but the Simpsons are on TV.
Our driveway snowed in.
Old Man Winter!
That's right. I fill your driveways with ice and snow. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. That's what. Stop.
Mr. Plow!
Get out, you lousy season. All right, I'm going. My head hurts. I have to lie down for a while. Hello, I'm Mr. Plow. Are you tired of having your hands cut off by snow blowers and the inevitable heart attacks that come with shoveling snow?
Uh-huh.
Then call Klondike 5-3226. Call now and receive a free t-shirt. He could still surprise you.
But I'm a real tightwad. Can I afford this remarkable system?
Absolutely. My prices are so low, you'll think I've suffered brain damage.
You are fully bonded and licensed by the city, aren't you, Mr. Plow?
Shut up, boy. So remember, call Mr. Plow. That's my name again, Mr. Plow. Well, John Q Driveway has our number. Now we play the waiting game. No, the winning game sucks. Let's play Hungry Hippos.
Well done, Dr. Crane. A classic, Mr. Plow. Might need him this weekend. Now, we have reached out to Senior Chief Chase and Big Joe Show meteorologist, Katie Morgan. We're going to try and get her on.
From Fox, we have sent out the bat signal.
Yeah, because here's the thing. And this is why, like, we should almost put a rule in place that you got to wait until 48 hours before even mentioning the word snow.
Yeah.
Because the models change. And, you know, all models are different. Some are blonde. Some are, no, I'm just kidding.
Right, you're right.
But the models change. And so there was one that came out that was a European model that's showing the snow going more north. And then there's another one that shows us getting like 2 feet.
Right.
So, I mean.
We don't know.
Nobody knows.
And then we have all these wannabe meteorologists on social media who think they know, and then they're just copy and paste from somewhere who knows where to show us all. We are getting snow. We know that. The level, nobody knows.
Yeah. So we will keep you posted on that and what may happen there. So 615-737-1025. Did you see – this is the this is an interesting thing that happened with the Buffalo Bills. And I think if Titans fans are mad at Amy Adams Strunk, Bills fans are even more mad at Terry Bakula, their owner. He said he made the decision to fire Coach Sean McDermott in the locker room after the loss to the Broncos. He felt the team had hit the, quote, proverbial playoff wall. He says, my decision to bring in a new coach was based on the results of our game in Denver. He said this during a 54-minute interview on Wednesday that included Brandon Bean, the general manager. Bean was also made president of football operations this week, and the new coach will report to him. I did not fire coach based on a bad officiating decision. If I can take you into the locker room, I felt like we had hit the proverbial playoff wall year after year. 13 seconds, missed field goal, the catch. So I just sensed in the locker room, like, where do we go from here with what we have? And that was a basis for my decision.
He ain't wrong. He's not wrong.
I know, but can you really truly make that right after the game, walking into the locker room?
Absolutely you can. You know when you know. He's not wrong. He hit the wall. I mean, we talk about this. It's like, all right, are we ever going to get over this hump? Are they ever going to get to the next level? And you're convinced that maybe you're not and that it's okay. Coaches get hired and fired all the time. I hate it, but he's going to land on his feet someplace else to be successful again. Now, he's not going to have Josh Allen.
Yeah.
That's the key. How good is he without Josh Allen? We'll see, but – I think I spoke a few weeks ago before the Jacksonville game. I said if they lose that game, I think he's gone. I think they're like because you don't feel. And Buffalo fans, God bless you, man. 4 straight Super Bowls, 8 now playoffs with McDermott. You've seen enough. You've seen enough. And you move to a new stadium next year. I agree with the decision.
He says more when asked about promoting Brandon Bean. It says, quote, you see teams in the league, I'm not going to mention team names, but they have a great year, a good year. The next year, the success doesn't continue. You don't get into the playoffs 7 straight years in the National Football League where there are very few blowouts and dozens of close games every year. You don't get there without having the talent and a great organization. And Brandon and his staff have brought in regularly players. I mean, look at the injuries we had this year. We're down guys on the practice squad contributing in big games. You don't do all that without talent in the front office. So that's his, I guess, rationale for promoting Brandon Bean.
So lead into about the injury part about this. Robert Kraft is now saying, I want 18 games. Each team in the National Football League plays an international game. You on board with that?
If you allow the rosters to expand.
You have to.
Like, I say 60 with.
What's it now, 53?
It's, well.
55?
Game day is 55 with, I think, 46 active. You can elevate from your practice squad. The practice squad, I think, is 17.
Yep.
But I think you got to go to, like, 60 active and then, you know, maybe 15 on the practice squad.
All right. So you're good with 18 in an international game?
Yeah,
I am. I'll take that.
But you got to give the players a piece of the pie. You just have to. You've added – you're now adding 2 games. And I think the other thing is – you really need to add 2 weeks to the schedule and give 2 off weeks.
Bingo. I like that. Yep.
If you go 2 off weeks, so you kick off when you usually kick off.
After Labor. You got to move it back. You got
to
move it to Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. You may have to.
Yeah.
But move college football back a week.
They'll love it.
Get rid of this week zero BS.
Yep.
Move it back, and then yeah.
College has their opener to themselves. NFL has that. 18, two bye weeks, start the fifth week. Just, yep. You know, if you're going to buy at 5, you get to buy at 10. 6, 11, 7, yep. 12, 8, 13, and that's how to get it done. Look, it's going to happen because yep. all these owners are greedy. They see the more money part of this, so let them go get it
and
done.
And I guarantee you one of the things that's going to come out of this, whether we like it or we don't like it, is they'll add another team to each conference in the playoff. So you'll go from 7 in each conference to 8. Getting in.
Should they realign conferences? Like, should Dallas be part of the NFC South now?
Yeah.
Move up Carolina?
Well, especially, I mean, the other part of this is, and I know we got a break, so we can talk about this coming up next, but I think another part of this is expansion. How does expansion fit in? Because I think they're going to expand in the next few years. We'll continue this coming up next. Chasing Big Joe. Live at the Boulevard Bar and Grill, and our show is presented by the Omni on 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. As we prepare for Snowpocalypse 2026, we wanted to bring in somebody that actually knows what they're talking about when it comes to this, because we don't. And that is, I have dubbed her Chief Senior Meteorologist of the Chasing Big Joe Show. Katie Morgan of Fox 17 joins us now. Hi, Katie. How you doing?
Hi, I think we're maybe talking about ice apocalypse, maybe too.
Oh, that's not what we want to hear.
I know.
Because you can explain this better than I can. There are several different models that you all look at, and with snow, you know, looking at it on a Monday or a Tuesday when the event could be this weekend, it's going to give you an idea, but it's not going to tell you the full story because they're going to change. And it looks like these models are continuing to change.
Yeah, and continuing to give me gray hair. So, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly right. You know, you can get a general idea of a pattern, and then about 7 to 10 days out, and then as you get into the week, within 6-7 days, you can start to see trends if it's more or less likely, and that's what we've been doing over the past couple of days. And at first, it looked like this was going to be a classic snow setup, a very rare event, really, that we don't get very many here in Middle Tennessee where it is strictly snow and heavy at that. But now that we're within 60 hours, we're going to start to get more of our high-resolution models that don't go out as far as a week. But these give us a much better idea handling microclimates more, other things that are going on in the atmosphere above us, for example, that are going to put a lot of kinks into that snow potential. And unfortunately, that's what it's looking like right now.
Ouch. Will you please explain to us what the European model is? I think it's some cute girl sitting in a basement in London. Please explain to us what the European model is.
It's hard. Anytime I post about the models are saying, I get that image in my head that most people probably think, yeah, it's that. These are computer weather prediction models. So they're basically comprised of a ton of physics and math equations that people much smarter than me put together. And each one is different. So the Euro is based out of Europe, and it tends to be a little more accurate just because it uses more state-of-the-art technology. It does a little bit better with microclimates and terrain. There are more models, so we have one deterministic model, and those are going to be all the ones that you've seen on the internet, posting 24 inches of snow, 18 inches of snow. Those change rapidly each run, and we get 4 runs a day. So we're getting new data in 4 different times of day with these larger models. We also have one called the GFS, and that's the American model, if you will. It's still good. But the Euro tends to take the cake more often than not. But the GFS still, you know, has some skin in the game and is improving all the time. We're always putting more information and new technology into it as well.
All right, I have the
scientific mumbo jumbo for you.
That's good. I have the GTFO model, which is I want the snow to get out of here. So it is going to snow, right? I'm not going to put you on the spot and say how much we're going to get, but we are going to get snow, right?
You know what? I think we will. In fact, I think what's going to end up happening is it's going to be a layer sandwich. And the bottom line that I want to drive home at this point, it is Wednesday. This isn't expected to arrive probably late Friday. We might start to see a little bit of stuff, but more likely into early Saturday morning is when we'll start to see things get going. This does look to be a high-impact weather event, winter weather event. I think we're going to find a sandwich of maybe some snow first, then we might find some sleet. It's possible we'll put in some freezing rain. And depending on how warm the temperatures are just above us, it may be a prolonged amount of either freezing rain or sleet.
Ugh.
More than snow. It's just going to depend on how far north that what we call a warm nose pushes into Middle Tennessee. I'm seeing some hints even of maybe cold rain in our southern county, closer to Alabama. But it's creeping our way. So there's still a lot of questions and uncertainty as to what are we going to see, how long are we going to see it, and what the impact will be. But at this time, I'm fairly confident it's still going to be an impact. I mean, temperatures this weekend are going to be cold enough, so anything that's falling is going to freeze. Freezing rain, of course, is ice accumulation. That would be worrisome for power outages, ice accumulation on trees coming down. Sleet does not accumulate on power lines. It bounces on contact, but it will, once it settles, if it's enough, and I think we could get accumulating sleet, that would then freeze over overnight and would create a sheet of ice on the road. So that would create dangerous travel, and then, of course, snow is snow. So there's still a lot of questions up in the air. But if I had to put a something on it right now, I would say our best chances of 6 inches is going to be north of Nashville, closer to the Tennessee-Kentucky border, and maybe more.
So let me ask you this, Katie, before we let you go. Katie Morgan with us from Fox 17. If we get the snow first and then a layer of sleet, freezing rain, ice, what have you, and then more snow, does that make – I mean, travel's already going to be bad anyway, but does it help that, or does it really matter with the temperatures being what they're going to be?
No, it doesn't really matter. It's going to be just dangerous to be out this weekend, bottom line. I think, you get a mix in there. I think there's more of a, especially with temperatures in the 20s. Monday morning, I'm looking at lows close to zero here in Nashville. Oof. And Tuesday morning. Yeah. So anything that we have on the ground is going to freeze and then continue to pack as people travel over it and freeze and harden. So I think we could be looking at least multiple day impacts as far as the roads are concerned. And I would not be surprised easily if we have some school delays, closures into early next week because of the duration of the cold and the amount of precipitation, whatever it may be, coming in this weekend. So overall, I would prepare now. Just go get what you need now and hunker down and watch movies all weekend.
Well, Joe, I'm traveling to Gatlinburg tomorrow, so I'll see you guys in March because that's probably when I'll be able to get back.
Katie, thank you for answering the call. Again, the chief meteorologist of the Chase and Big Joe show. That's a title that's not handed out lightly. Just let you know that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It is an honor.
All right, you bet. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie.
See ya.
Katie Morgan, Fox 17, and just keep your eye on her and – We'll see what happens. I will see you guys in March.
It's either going to be bad or really bad.
Yeah.
So thank you, Katie.
We will have more coming in hour number 3 from the Boulevard in Murfreesboro. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.